Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John. John engineering and producing our show. Welcome to the Buckmaster program for this Tuesday, the first Tuesday of April. It's the 5th, 2022. In our 12th year with the radio program, Buckmaster broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, our radio station 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Terry Bracey, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. Terry has had a unique role in representing Tucson's interest, beginning with a 10-year stint on the staff of the famed Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry was then appointed to sub-cabinet position by President Carter, subsequently served under four presidents of both parties. He's the founding partner of the respected public affairs firm of Bracey Tucker Brown, which has worked on many of Tucson's successes in the nation's capital. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm fine. We're kind of stuck inside on another rainy day here.
Really?
In Washington, but I can live with that. But we're fine. We're fine. It's just kind of a depressing time. But before we get into that, I just wanted to say how much I really appreciated what the Wildcat men and women basketball teams did this year. I followed them both very carefully. Amazing, both in the NCAA tournament. And the men were kind of a special thrill to me, Bill, because they were completely disregarded by these so-called experts who didn't even pick them in the top 25. And with a rookie head coach, they said, oh, they'd finish best. They'd finish fourth in the Pac-10. And what a coach Tommy Lloyd is, and what a team. How do these people, these so-called experts, get paid? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, I'll tell you, they'll be on everybody's radar screen next year, won't they, Terry? And I think somebody came out with a top 25 preseason pick. Yeah, you got a long way to go, but somebody's already saying, you know, the Wildcats are going to be there in the top five. So they're on the radar screen of everybody.
Well, that's good. And it's, you know, I have more time now. I only work part-time in the firm. And so I have time to watch these games. And I really become quite a fan. Always have been, but now I have more time to kind of focus on it.
Well, you mentioned it's a depressing time. I mean, the news coming out of Ukraine and the hit squads killing entire families, execution style, the piles of bodies that are now being uncovered. It's very, very depressing. What's your take on this whole Russian attack on the Ukraine?
Well, Bill, I think this has turned into a tragedy of historic proportions. And I think we're right back in the Cold War. Whatever justification Putin had, if any, disappeared, as you say, with these war crimes the Russians have systematically committed against these noncombatants. The mass graves, the destroyed cities he's left behind are not the work of a true leader, Bill, but a mass murderer like Stalin or Hitler or even Assad.
Well, I'll tell you, Putin's picture is going to be up there in the all-time Hall of Shame, up there with a couple of those people that you mentioned, maybe Pol Pot of Cambodia, and on it goes. But really, really bad news. What do you think prompted him to take this step for the invasion? Just a miscalculation, thinking that his troops would be welcomed with flowers? What's your take?
Well, there was some of that, but I think there are many theories, but I'll tell you what I think. I think that a lot of this was his sense of fear that NATO was breathing down their necks. After the Cold War, when the Soviet Union imploded, losing its captive states like the Ukraine and the Baltic states and so on, NATO moved very quickly to sign up new members who were as close to Russia as, say, Canada and Mexico are to us. So think about how we'd feel about Russian proxies on our borders. I don't think we'd like it very much. And so if he had any justification for what he was out to do, it would have been maybe somewhat of a miscalculation on the part of leaders in the mid-90s when Russian collapsed, that we may have moved a little bit too close to their borders. So that would be a justification. And I think that was a lot of it, but then it's, as you say, oh my gosh.
Well, Putin has been, he's been involved with that ongoing conflict and sponsoring the irregulars in the Donbass region in a full-scale invasion. So that's the big, right now, I guess maybe that is the piece that maybe he's looking to save face in Donbass.
Well, there's really been a war going on, a proxy war going on in the northern and western provinces of the Ukraine. And I think that, you know, with the U.S. seeming to be somewhat divided, and with NATO, he misjudged NATO and so on, and he's surrounding himself now with lackeys, complete lackeys. I think they assured him, as you say, that his army would be greeted with flowers and celebrations. And when his army took heavy losses and was embarrassed by a smaller force, he turned to terror tactics. Just look what he did in Syria, just inhuman, where they pull troops back, Bill, surround an area, and they use planes and artillery just unmercifully to flatten cities and murder civilians. It's just unbelievable.
Well, I don't think Putin could ever be anything on the world stage now. After something like this, nobody in their right mind would want to do business with this guy. At least that's, I can't imagine it, but I guess there are some states that still will do business with a man like that. I mean, it's crazy. But Terry, I would like to move on to something a bit more optimistic, and I know it's the Tucson could benefit and will benefit from the national infrastructure plan going on. Can you kind of give us a quick overview on that?
Yeah, Bill, this is just an amazing program that's coming our way. People will remember that President Biden put together a coalition that voted for the biggest infrastructure program since Eisenhower, and it's at least three times the size of the federal highway system. And it's just an amazing program that is generational in nature, and it's going to have a big effect on Tucson. You know, but before I speculate on that and go into it, the one thing I think our Tucsonans, we must do is pass that half cents or continue with that half cent transportation tax, because that'll give us enough local match to get the big federal grants. And I tell you, I think within a rapid period, we could see, for example, the 22nd Street Bridge. We don't have the money to rebuild it, and it's becoming obsolete. I think they could rebuild all of that. I think we could see major improvements on local streets on both the west and east sides. I think we could see electric charging stations all over Tucson, almost like gas stations after a number of years, and a whole new generation of water infrastructure built that to protect and enhance and deliver our water supply.
You're talking about Proposition 411, which will be before voters in mid-May. That will be a mail-in election in the city of Tucson. And we're going to talk more about that with Tim Tomier, who is the number two manager in the city. That'll be on our show Friday, Terry. But you're right. There's a lot to unpack in 411 that I think would set the table. And I hope it passes. I think it would set the table for now the regional transportation RTA program called RTA Next.
Well, yeah, I would listen carefully to what Tim has to say. Tim is really one of the top infrastructure people in the country, and we're lucky to have him.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, we're talking about billions of dollars that could come our way. And what we have to do is have a relatively small local match, because that federal law always requires that, like they did with, say, the streetcar.
Yep.
Things like that. And it's not that much. It's a half cent. And, of course, some people will demagogue it. It's all taxes and all that. You know, look what we pay for a gallon of gas. What's a half cent?
Yeah.
But that half cent, that half cent tax may open the door to billions.
I agree. Hey, always good to chat with you, Terry. Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Bill. Bye.
Always a pleasure. Terry Bracey. I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. It's Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They are open right now for lunch. They're open Tuesday through Sunday. They are located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. And as we talked about yesterday with our guests on our political face-off, one of the most difficult choices you have when you go into Mona's, what do I want from the bakery case? Well, everything's good there. If you're thinking maybe try something new like I did a couple of weeks ago and now I can't get enough of them. Yep, the bear claws. All right, monasdanishbakery.com is the website. We've got Shelley Fishman standing by, and Shelley's giving me two thumbs down. Well, what day is it? Oh, it's Tuesday, of course. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman. It's Tuesday. That means time for Shelley. And sometimes, unfortunately, on Tuesday afternoon, it means the market's not having a very good day, and today
we had a good week last week for the opening.
We kicked, got some green back into the markets, but today the red has shown up. Shell, it just seems like there are two topics when I tune into the, and I do, I kind of monitor the financial media. Two topics come up. One, there'll be a question about inflation, and now the second question is, are we headed for a recession?
So, answer to the first question is yes, there is inflation. We'll talk about that in a second. Mm-hmm. The answer to the second question is, of course, we're headed to a recession. The question is, how many years from now? the American economy, free market economies in general, tend to be cyclical. And so there is going to be pullbacks and peaks and that kind of thing. So anybody who is predicting a recession is, you know, pretty safe in their predictions. The question is when and how deep. And so, in fact, there was a really great article in today's New York Times by Ben Castleman that talks about the predictions that some, not most, by any means not most, people are saying. Because what they're fearful of is that the Fed will overreact to the inflation, and now we put these two things together, overreact to the inflationary forces in the economy, and as a result, their knee-jerk reaction will be to destimulate the economy so much that it becomes a snowballing effect, and as a result, we'll have what we had in 1981, 1982, which is the Fed trying to overcome inflation by overcorrecting on interest rates, and that causing the economy to go into a downslide.
Do you see that happening?
I don't.
Okay.
Now, there is a danger that the Fed will overcorrect. And in fact, I don't agree with what they're going to do just this next month. They're going to probably raise interest rates again, not by a quarter of a point, but by a half a point. I think it ought to be a quarter of a point and then watch what happens. Nevertheless, I think there's a relative certainty that they'll go with a half a point. Now, the problem there, Bill, is that when you start making mortgages and other borrowing more expensive, companies and individuals tend to cut back. And that can start having an effect on the amount of growth in the economy. So if you had the kind of growth that's been normal for the past generation of, say, 2, 2.5, maybe 3%, and you start cutting back, and you cut back enough so that you're destimulating the economy by, a 2% factor, then you certainly risk in a recession. But we have GDP growth last year of between 5 and 6%, and this year is predicted to be, you know, in the 3 to 4%. So if you grab 2% out of GDP growth this year, you're back to normal. And so I don't worry about a recession, at least not in this year, and probably not the first half of next year. And there are things that we have to really look at that are tailwinds for the economy. For instance, we have regained 90% of the jobs that we lost in the first couple of months of the pandemic.
That is a huge, huge piece of the pie.
In the past, now, one, two, three, four, well, let's call it five quarters. Job gains have been all-time record highs. I mean, no administration has experienced these kinds of job gains. Now, yes, we came out of a deep hole, but even, you know, last month, you know, with tremendous gains in December, January, February, in March we had 430,000 jobs gained when the average maintenance gain is 200,000. Mm. So that's great. Our unemployment rate is at 3.6%.
So low.
I mean, that is so low. That is full employment by most people's
yes.
definition. We have 11 million job openings right now.
Jobs going begging.
And 7 million people looking for jobs. So jobs are going begging. So the Fed would really have to work hard to not to engineer a soft landing here. And that's why I'm not worried about that. Now, inflation is a very significant issue, especially for low-wage earners. You know, the folks at the upper middle class wage levels and higher than that have done just spectacularly well. Mm-hmm. The folks at the very lowest wage earner category have done okay, but it hasn't kept up with inflation. And so the real question is, what can the government do to ease the pain for people who are feeling the hike in gas prices and housing
supermarket
costs.
Prices?
You know, that hasn't been so bad.
Really?
There's certain elements that have been, meat mm-hmm. and poultry have, but when you take a look at produce, it's not anything that would cause you to really get worried about.
But certainly gas.
Certainly gas. Certainly housing costs have mm-hmm. become a real problem. Now, you know, the question is what has caused those increases. And it's clear we've got three things here. We've got the supply chain issue, which is easing, mm-hmm. But is still unpredictable, largely because the pandemic is now centering its, you know, bad news in China.
Yes, it is. Big time.
And as a result, we don't know what a Chinese shutdown of major cities will do to our supply chains.
Like what is going on in Shanghai.
Bingo.
Huge city, completely shut down.
I know. And so, you know, we talk about huge cities in the States. We're talking 8, 10 million people.
Yeah.
Huge cities in China are 25, 30 million
people. Yeah.
So we have to be wary of the fact that even though we're doing things domestically to loosen up the supply chain problems, if we start seeing once again the kinds of inability to grab really essential, not only raw materials, but sub-assemblies and electronic components from where they're manufactured outside of the U.S., that is going to be a continued inflationary pressure on automobiles. We import a lot of lumber. If we can't get that in, that's going to continue to be a problem for construction and therefore housing costs. So, yeah, there's some greed involved, especially on the oil company side. But that is the big uncertainty that I think people should, number one, be concerned about, but number two, when we talk about the inflationary pressures on this economy, that's where we should really worry about it. And the third thing is just, you know, something that who could have planned for a war in Europe? And now today we're seeing another round of restrictions on Russia's ability to export to the EU and to the United States.
Really tightening the clamps,
really tightening that clamps on.
Yeah.
And so when okay, so that means that certain things that are directly restricted are going to have to be imported from other places. That raises prices. You have the war in Ukraine really putting a damper on exports of wheat and other grains, which is raising the prices there, especially to places that can't afford those increases.
Yeah, I mean, look at Odessa is under siege and bombardment. That's the port where all of the grain leaves.
Exactly.
And that grain supplies Africa, especially North Africa, places like Haiti in our hemisphere.
Precisely.
They're not getting anything.
Precisely.
So it's
also
a big issue.
As companies are not able to do business in Russia.
Yes.
That's 140 odd million people that comes out of their marketplace.
Exactly.
As companies, and it's U.S. companies and European companies. And so they have to then look to scale down their forecasts of profitability. That's affecting the stock market. So yeah, there are some things that are very troubling and adding uncertainty. But when I take a look at this economy, and I've been saying this for a long time, Bill, this economy is super healthy, maybe even a little overheated. So what we need to be very careful of is creating a panic by talking about recessions that aren't going to happen in the near future.
All right, Shelley, we will look for your reports from Europe. You'll be with us over the next 3 weeks, reporting from France.
From France, yes.
It's going to be an exciting trip, and safe travels as you take off for Paris. And we'll look forward to your take on what's going on economically over in Europe, Shelley.
You bet. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you very much. We'll take a break right here. Lisa Graham Keegan, well-known Arizona educator, next on the show.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, my go-to place, and so many Southern Arizonans love to make the trip over to 3384 East River Road. I don't blame them. If they need something beautiful for the garden, and who doesn't right now as we transition from our spring and kind of early summer already here in the Southern Arizona area, the 13-acre site home to Zocalo, as well as every imaginable plant that you could need. Zocalo, Mexico, Latin America, and European goods that are imported. They do such a beautiful job there. It's greenthingsaz.com, their website. They are in their 51st year. They are open daily. And the other website for their business, zocalovillage.com. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome now Lisa Graham Keegan, one of Arizona's most respected education leaders. She'll be leading the AZ On Track Summer Camp. This is an initiative very, very close to the heart of Governor Ducey, an initiative to overcome learning loss that occurred during the pandemic. Lisa Graham Keegan served as the superintendent of public instruction in this state from 1995 to 2001. She was a member of the Arizona House of Representatives from 1991 to 1995. In both roles, she was a passionate advocate for educational excellence in Arizona. Lisa, good to reconnect with you.
So nice to talk to you, Bill. Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about the AZ On Track Summer Camp and why you're feeling so passionate about it.
Yeah, Bill. Well, I'm passionate about it because Governor Ducey really recognized a huge need and a huge opportunity this summer. You know, our children can be back together in person, re-engaging in learning. And I don't have to tell you, Bill, or any of your listeners that this has been a struggle over the past 2 years in schooling. And this summer, we have the opportunity to re-engage our students, get them excited about learning, about being together. Governor Ducey has asked that the camps not only focus on math, literacy, civics, which is so important now, but also to add adventure components. This is not standard summer school. This is summer camp. We have groups like the YMCA, Boys and Girls Club, the Boy Scouts offering, you know, camping adventures. And I think Governor Ducey rightfully saw re-engagement for students and also support for teachers. He really is emphasizing that the camps ought to be paying above normal wage to teachers who really have given us so much over the past few years. And now we're asking for their summer as well, and getting a great response, by the way. So we're so grateful.
Lisa, as my listeners know, over the pandemic, the two-year period, we talked so much on this program about how the kids were really struggling, and many of them just did not feel at home with virtual learning and online learning, and they are behind. This is a great opportunity, isn't it, for kids to have fun and make learning a part of the fun?
It is, Bill. That's exactly it. To get back together and for teachers to be able to reengage personally with their students, there isn't anything like in-person learning, so we need to get back at it. The other thing we're trying to do in support of teachers, Bill, is to share with them some sort of best-in-class curriculum that that came about during the pandemic and really, really has helped people, has helped teachers, has helped students to catch up quickly. And the state is offering some of that curriculum free of charge to schools, professional development at the end of May, free of charge for teachers that are interested in those really effective curricula. Also, we're putting up a resource page so that other programs that want to support this work can connect with camps. We're doing a lot of matchmaking, Bill, sort of connecting people with resources, but it is all hands on deck right now, right? So we really want these resources available.
And you have so many partners. You've got schools and community organizations that have really come together, Lisa Graham Keegan, to host these campsites. So what would be a good place for my listeners to go to find out more about how they can get involved?
Thank you, Bill. So right now, azontrack.com is the easiest way to go. azontrack.com. Right now, you're going to see close to 100 camps. They're coming up regularly. We have over 400 easily. They're coming fast, so that's going to change by the time you and I quit talking. Mm-hmm. Over 113,000 spaces in camp already. The governor said, isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
The governor said he wanted 250,000 spaces in camp, and I told him, great, you're a really, really optimistic, visionary kind of guy. Look, we're almost halfway there, 113,000 spaces in camp already. That's, 13% of the students that we have. So I think he's right. I think that we can get there. Demand is strong. Responsiveness is strong. I'm so gratified and grateful, Bill. So we have applications still open. Schools are still coming. Organizations are still coming with their ideas. And so you never want to bet against Governor Ducey and what he thinks is possible. And we're doing everything we can to encourage parents to get signed up. And Bill, the new opportunities will keep coming. So I want to say to parents, get on and take a look. If you see something you love immediately, by all means, try to get into camp. It's first come, first serve. And these are free. Let's emphasize that, Bill. No charge to Arizona families to access a camp. So get on there, take a look around. These opportunities will keep coming right through the end of this month, maybe into first week of May when we're still posting camps that might come up late. So
now, I'm glad you mentioned that about the cost, because that was going to be my next question. This is a no cost to the parents, and this is a great way to kind of get the kids to catch up academically.
Yes, Bill, and the governor wanted no barriers to camp, so it's amazing to me that he's making this available to everybody in this way, and schools are really responding. It's a great way for schools in particular to really leverage, the funding that they've got to bring kids up to speed. The federal government has distributed a lot of money to our schools for this kind of intervention. The governor making his own, dollars, that federal dollars available in his office, routing them to schools really allows the schools to do more, use that money through the school year. Because, Bill, we're really into a period of not just the summer when we're going to turn around and get started at AZ On Track, but we're going to be looking at next school year and the year after that. And so this is a time to just really reengage and plan for these next couple of years where the kids do have a lot to do to reengage.
As Superintendent of Public Instruction, Lisa Graham Keegan, you were a member of that legendary Fab Five. That was the first time women were elected to all state leadership positions in the United States history. That was back in the late 1990s. Do you think you guys set the kind of were trailblazers in showing young women, hey, we can do that, we can follow that path and really succeed to the highest levels of state government?
I hope so, Bill. It was such an honor and great women to work with. And, we stood on the shoulders of some beautiful giants. Arizona always had very strong women in government and public service in the legislature. And so we were early. Arizona women voted in 1912, as opposed to the rest of the country that waited another 7 years. So women have been a strong part of Arizona's history. And I do think, I hope that in the 90s, the five of us were able to, look at our own daughters and say, listen, it's all on you.
Well,
you can do this.
Well, it is great to reconnect with you and to hear your voice, Lisa Graham Keegan. I interviewed you so many times when I had the TV show, and you were always very gracious and transparent about coming down to Tucson to be on Arizona Illustrated. And I appreciate what you're doing, leading AZ On Track Summer Camp. The website again for all of the information, ontrack.az.gov. Lisa, thank you very much.
Bill, thank you so much. It's an honor.
All right. Lisa Graham Keegan with us on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take a break right here. Be back with our monthly arts report with Margaret Regan of the Tucson Weekly.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico makes such a great getaway. It's only about a three-hour drive east of Tucson. So much to do, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness or enjoying some beautiful environment in Silver City, some beautiful Victorian architecture. For more on things to do and places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Time for our monthly arts report with the longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer, Margaret Regan. Margaret's been writing about the arts since 1990. She's won many journalism awards for her arts criticism, her border reporting, her stories on the Irish immigrant experience. She's got two very popular books, Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire and the Death of Jocelyn, Immigration Stories from the Arizona Borderlands. Margaret, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Bill. I just wanted to tell you about being at the Tucson Folk Festival on Sunday.
Oh, you were at the festival?
I did go. I went with my husband. He went both days. He loves it.
And you had a good time.
Yeah, well, what I wanted to say is I saw Gertie and the T.O. Boys. You know, those are Tohono O'odham people, and they're doing Waila music. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but they're fabulous. And then I was preparing to talk to you today about the story I'm writing about, and that is also about Tohono O'odham things. So there you go.
Well, I understand there's quite an exhibit being planned at Tohono. Well, actually, it's at where is that? Tohono O'odham, where
Oh, yeah, it's been there, I guess, almost for a couple of weeks now.
Really?
I haven't written about it yet, but I was up there to see it. It's a wonderful show about beautiful handmade baskets by three American tribes, the Tohono O'odham, Western Apache, and Akima O'odham. And these baskets have been donated to Tohono O'odham. So that's an amazing thing in and of itself. The baskets are beautiful, just beautiful. But the really interesting story, there's an elderly man, you know, in Tucson named Roy J. Kurtz. And he was, you know, a regular guy, regular job, but he loved these baskets all his life, and he collected them, especially when they weren't as expensive as they're getting now. And so, you know, he's getting on in years, and he wanted to do something with the baskets, and he insisted that it be in Arizona, and especially in Tucson, I think. Mm. And so Tohono O'odham was thrilled to accept them. You know, that's a smallish kind of place. They don't have a lot of their own, they don't have that many of their own works that they, you know, they own. But this will be, it's a wonderful coup. Eventually, there are going to be 600 baskets in their production.
Really?
Yeah, but they're not all there now. I think there are about 40 in the show right now. And curator James Schaub, who's a great guy, he goes to Roy's house every Tuesday.
Hmm.
And the two of them look over which ones they should send now to to Tohono O'odham. And then James brings them back, and then they have workers there, you know, fixing and repairing them. So it's just a really nice story. And really, I don't know that much about, you know, Indian baskets, but these are beautiful, and there's a lot of information for them. One of my favorites is one called Man in the Maze.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Tohono O'odham basket of yucca, and devil's claw.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the round ones, and it's, you know, the maze goes round and round and round in the basket, and then you see this little man there in the top. Another one was a rattlesnake with coyote tracks. So there's just so many great things. I'm just so thrilled to have seen it.
And the Kurtz, I'm
hoping to write it for the next week or the week after for the weekly.
The Roy J. Kurtz Collection of American Indian Art is on view in the main gallery at Tohono O'odham through May the 16th. What about MoCA, Tucson Museum of Contemporary Art?
Yeah, now this is another interesting thing. The artist they have there now, a young woman, she's like 35, Grace Rosario Perkins, is a member of the Akima O'odham tribe. So, and I just thought, well, how interesting is that we're getting all these things from the Tohono O'odham people lately, and that, you know, what a gift. Now, I haven't seen her show yet, Grace, but the pictures are gorgeous. This is her first solo museum. She's showing 14 large paintings with amazing colors, just beautiful. It's pretty much, it's multimedia, and, you know, they're just really great. She says that the paintings are heavy and layered with available materials like fabric, spray paint, tape, paper, you know, one of those kind of paintings. So I can't wait to get out there and see that.
And MoCA is located at 265 South Church Avenue. That show runs into October. Another show on your radar screen, Margaret Regan, is We Love Etherton Gallery. They've got a new show.
Yeah. I think this is a really great time right now. All these shows show showing art at this particular time. It's wonderful. So Etherton Gallery is has a show with Kate Brakey, mm-hmm. who has, you know, had shows there for years and years. She's originally from Australia. mm-hmm. Anyway, she's lived in Tucson for many, many years, way out in the desert, and she does a lot of photos about animals, and as she said in her note, she says, it's a visual diary of things I've seen and loved. Moon, stars, plants, desert animals. And, you know, she's been around for quite a while now in Tucson, and she does a lot of stuff for Etherton. So this is great. Her show is called Transience, and it opens today, so you could go right over there, Bill, and get the...
I want to tell our listeners also, there is a reception this weekend on Saturday, April the 9th. And remember, this is in the new, really, it's a beautiful gallery on Convent Street in the old barrio, 340 yeah. South Convent Street, the new Etherton Gallery. Very nice.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
one more show, real quickly, over at Tucson Museum of Art.
Still more art, Bill.
Mm-hmm. Keeps on
still
coming.
Still more art. And this person is also an indigenous person from Arizona. Brad Kalheimer was born to indigenous parents in somewhere in Arizona. And then he was adopted by, white parents. And now his art is all about who is he, you know, it's all about his identity, his memories of childhood, and where did he really come from, and who is he. And again, I haven't been out to see it, but I've seen the pictures online, and also extremely interesting. So very interesting. We have a lot going on with Native people right now.
I think the chief curator, our friend Julie Sassy, has been trying for a very long time, because this artist is in demand. She's been trying to get Kalheimer to mm-hmm. To get his work there to show at Tucson Museum of Art.
Yeah, absolutely. I know she's told me about him over the years, and she's just so overjoyed to have him there. And it's going to be out. It's going to be there until September, so people have lots of time to get it. So I'm looking forward to getting down there, too. And good for Julie. She's doing a great job.
Yes, she is. So you've got plenty to write about in the coming weeks about these four shows. Yeah. Want to ask you about the Tucson Folk Festival. How is the attendance? It seems like the events are back now here in Tucson.
It does. Yeah, there are loads and loads of people. Loads of people. So people were not wearing masks except for me. I was the only one.
Yeah.
But everybody seems to be feeling okay, especially because the whole thing was out of doors.
Sure.
And I didn't get to the book festival this year, but I heard that was just like ever, you know, how it's always been, very, very crowded and things happening. So, yeah.
The arts are back in Tucson. All right. We will look for your work, Margaret Regan, in the Tucson Weekly. Thank you very much, Margaret.
Okay. Take
Thanks
care.
A lot. All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Margaret Regan and John on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing the program, I'm Bill Buckmaster. We'll be back with you in about 23 hours. Steve Kasachek will join us. Also, some really interesting things going on at Biosphere 2. We'll talk about that on the program as well tomorrow. Till then, have a great afternoon, everybody.